Today is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. We have a few announcements. Today, there will be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. And the other announcement is this. We have something to tell you. After Mass. So please stay after Mass. That's an order. Please stay after Mass. We know some people like to leave right away, even when there's something important. But this time you must stay. And don't forget, there's benediction this evening. Some wonderful feasts this week. Like, for instance, today is the feast of the great Saint Bruno. Tomorrow's second-class feast. We hope all of you are here tomorrow for the feast of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. Big feast. Tuesday, St. Bridget of Sweden. Wednesday, St. John Leonard. If you haven't read his book on the Mass, you should. Thursday, St. Francis Borgia. Who made a great conversion of life simply because he saw a dead body. Friday is also second class feast of the Maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, see to it that you walk with care, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not become foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, for in that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Please stand for the Gospel. Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 4, verses 46 to 53. At that time, there was a certain royal official whose son was lying sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee, he went to him and besought him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus therefore said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you do not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go thy way, thy son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and departed. But even as he was now going down, his servants met him and brought him word, saying that his son lived. He asked of them, therefore, the hour in which he had got better. And they told him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The father knew then that it was at that very hour in which Jesus had said to him, "Thy son lives," and he himself believed, and his whole household. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God, brethren, that you have been given this invaluable gift of the Holy Catholic faith, which has been denied to billions of people walking on this planet. But has been given to you. A gift of which we are not worthy. Remember that God gave it to us not because we are better, because we are worse than other people, because it glorifies Him to give it to the weak and to the ignorant. So we are not worthy of this gift. This one gift. We are not mentioning all of the others that He has given us. And there are many. But just this one. If you are given a choice between the gift of the whole world as your very own and just a small increase in the gift of faith, choose the small increase. And you will have chosen very wisely, and you will be rewarded. You will not be sorry if you choose faith over the world. We are tempted to believe when we read this story and we hear this story. This man believed in some way that our Lord and Savior could heal his son. So this took place not long after the miracle of the water being turned into wine at the marriage feast. This is in Cana of Galilee. So our Lord returns there a short time later. And the word traveled. And so this man, who was some distance away, considerable distance away in the city of Capernaum, heard that the Savior was back in Cana. And he had, of course, heard about the wine, miracle of the wine. And so he traveled to Cana. He believed that our Lord could heal his son. He had not been given the faith yet. And so he asks for this miracle. You see here what a great gift we have been given. Because what if this man had what we have? Imagine what he could have asked. He could have been asking our Lord for the gift of heaven, for himself, for his dying son, for his whole family. Isn't that what the good thief asked for when he was dying? And our Lord said to him, Amen, I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise. So you see how we have been blessed? If we were standing, as this man was, right in front of God, what would we ask for? So you see, he believed in some way that Christ could heal his son. And then when he was told by the Savior that his son lived, he believed him. He still did not have the gift of faith. He did not know that Christ was God yet. Then he's going back and he hears that yesterday his son recovered exactly when Christ said these words. And so he and his entire family believed. They were given the gift of faith. Now, we are tempted to believe that he is led to have this belief in Christ because of the miracle. The miracle did not give them the gift of faith. This is a mistake. If miracles bestowed upon us this gift, then all of the people who actually witnessed Christ performing a miracle, like all of the people who saw the man with the withered arm, and his arm grew right in front of them, they would all believe if the miracle or the knowledge of the miracle was what made them believe. All of those people who saw it would believe. So the miracle does not give us faith. We can see Christ in glory and not believe. Because faith is something that is otherworldly and it has nothing to do with our reason. Faith is a share in God's knowledge. The greatest genius in the world, and we know that there are many geniuses, most of them, of the people who think they are geniuses, are not, but even those who have some great mind, most do not believe what we do. And if you were given all of the knowledge of all the people in the world, including all of the computers, you still would not believe in the truths of the faith unless you were given the virtue. Reason cannot find faith. By itself. However, you do see from the story also that God uses natural faith. That's what the man had, natural faith, because he heard that the Savior had worked this other miracle, and he believed the people that told him the story, natural faith. And then when Christ said to him, your son lives, he had natural faith. The same way you might believe the person sitting next to you if that person told you something that you did not know to be true. Natural faith. And so when he heard Christ say this to him, he believed him. Not because Christ was God, but because he was believable. And then when he heard about the miracle, he still could not believe until he was given the virtue from heaven, from God, including his family. Reason brings us to the point where we say, I would like to believe. I wish I could believe. This is believable. But I cannot believe it. Because God has not told me yet. And then we receive the faith. To give you an analogy, we cannot perfectly understand these great mysteries because even in heaven we will not understand everything perfectly because we are not God. Remember, God will reveal himself to us in heaven for eternity without end. We cannot understand the mysteries perfectly because we are not God. But to give you an analogy, it is, if you've ever seen Star Trek or Star Wars, these supposed spaceships are traveling at some great speed, and then they jump to warp drive. In the way the two have nothing to do with each other, the warp drive is using a completely different power. This is faith. It's something outside of our human abilities. But you can see that this man was led to the point, and God does this for everyone who is brought to the truth. He uses our reason and our natural faith to bring us to the point where he gives us the gift. And so you see that Protestants have been led part of the way to what we have. They do not have any gift. They may believe, as this man believed, through natural faith. They may believe some of the things that we have in our possession. It is still not the gift. And so they are closer to the truth, and in that measure they are closer to God than, let us say, a Jew or a Mohammedan. They still don't have what we have. Treasure it. Get down on your knees and thank God for what you have. Because if you don't, you will lose it. And if you don't believe us, if you think that it's with you to stay, then look at the billion plus so-called Catholics in the world, most of whom do not have what you have. We know now from the polls that have been taken, and we know polls can be skewed, but these polls, we believe that most Catholics do not believe, and this is a very large percentage of so-called Catholics, do not believe that Christ is present in the Eucharist. We can say almost all Catholics, so-called now, do not have faith in the Eucharist. They believe that It is a symbol of Christ, or that he is present with the bread. They believe that it is acceptable to have what is called now a unnatural union of so-called marriage. Most Catholics believe this is okay. I can't believe this. Better thank God for what you have. They believe now, most Catholics believe abortion is okay, perfectly acceptable, and artificial contraception, and they believe that everyone is going to be saved. Because, and this comes now from Rome, we will not make any more conversions to the Catholic faith, because now for many, many years, everyone is saved. Now, providentially, today is the feast, believe it or not, on this day of faith. Today is the feast of Saint Faith, this virgin martyr. And this is why we mention her to you, because you can pray to her today. She really did exist, despite what many say now. This virgin martyr, where there's a real, true, authentic account of this person's trial and martyrdom. And you can believe it. This was 17, almost over now, 1700 years ago. And when the official asked her what her name was, she said, "My name is Faith, and this is what I endeavor to practice today." And when she was commanded to worship their gods, she said, "I will not worship your demons that you call gods." And so she was immediately tortured. And when some of the bystanders protested what was being done to this young lady, because she believed in God, their heads were chopped off. Now, this is not the primary purpose of our speaking to you today, to tell you how valuable your faith is and how much you should be on your knees thankful that you've been given this. But rather, what we see in this story is the value of the prayer of petition. Because we want you to believe in prayer. We want you to believe in prayer in the same way that you believe in God. That's how we should believe in prayer. Because God must exist. We can be more certain of this than of our own existence. We're more certain of God's existence. And that's how certain you can be of the power of prayer. Because that's why God made us, to pray. There can't be in any other reason why we are here. And not just because of divine worship, because of love, that's the first reason for prayer, because of love. But also so that we can ask God for favors, not only for us, but for our neighbor, our friends, our neighbors, our enemies depend on us. If we do not pray for them, they will be lost. This is a fact. This is why God put us here. That's one of the reasons He brought us to this church, so that we can save other people. You see, in the story, this man is asking a favor. He didn't even believe in the true faith. And God still granted his prayer. And if our prayers are not answered immediately, God has a good reason. Sometimes it's because we are asking for something we don't want, we shouldn't have. Would you give your child something that was bad for him or her? No, you wouldn't, would you? And so, because we don't always know exactly what we should pray for, God, even though He always hears our prayers and He always answers them, He does not always answer them as we expect Him to. Many times, He simply does not answer our prayers so that we will continue to pray, because He wants us to, as it says in the gospel, wear Him out, wear Him down. But of this you can be certain, that He will answer your prayer, no matter how great the petition you ask for. If you ask for something that seems impossible, He will grant you something that is even more impossible. We, of course, have an example, a couple of examples for you. In addition to this beautiful gospel for today, Father Crosset gives us this true story. A man who was in a battle in war, and he was shot. And the musket ball, this was not recently, but some years ago, the musket ball went through his head. And through the two holes the musket ball made in his head, his brains were coming out. And in his hand, he held a rosary and he held his scapular. And this is how he was found on the battlefield. And he was asking for a priest. I need a priest. And the priest was found and brought to him and heard his confession. And then he died. That is the power of the prayer of petition. Where's the prayer of petition for someone else? Where's the prayer? Here she is. She was praying. And the same man that told that story tells this story when a man claimed that he'd been shot in the chest. He was examined and found that the bullet had hit his scapular. prayer of petition. We're out of time. We had a magnificent story to read to you from our book here, but we do not have time. But we remind you of the order that you have received to stay after Mass. We are going to go into the sacristy and remove these vestments and come back out and give you the announcement. God bless you.